Good news from Jamaica. Last Friday, Christopher Parkinson and Katie Ann were joined together and were married. It's a big step for them, bringing forth fruits of repentance. And Christopher was baptized, and we have a new brother in Christ, and we can rejoice in that. And Chris Jones Sr., that's Chris's dad, and I had the privilege of spending some time with both of those two and studying with them in Montego Bay. And so it really, truly is a joy to me to see the gospel and the power of the gospel to take effect in a good and honest heart. We thank you for coming here. We are blessed today with a house full of guests, and we want you to know that we are very privileged to have you. Thank you for coming. Some of you just keep coming back, and we're glad for that, happy for that. We have Jack and Karen Greer here today, and they're happy because Coit and Jillian have a baby boy. And Coit was one of our students here a few years ago, fine young man, and we certainly are happy for them in the birth of their new baby boy. On April the 9th, 1865, General Lee surrendered to General Grant at Appomattox, thus ending the Civil War. 2 days later, President Lincoln spoke at the White House, and there was a fellow by the name of John Wilkes Booth who was present. And when he heard the things he heard, he left very angry. And 3 days later, on Friday, April the 14th, he dropped by Ford's Theater and learned that the president would be attending that evening, the occasion, and thus successfully assassinated President Lincoln. Booth was later apprehended at Port Royal, Virginia, on a farm just outside the community. He refused to come out of the barn, and even though they had set the barn on fire, and was shot and killed by an army sergeant who was acting without orders and who died, Wilkes Booth died without trial. Several days later, Booth's co-conspirators were arrested and tried by a military tribunal. They were found guilty. Four of them hung to death in less than 3 months after the crime had been committed. Among them, a lady by the name of Mary Surratt was executed because she simply housed the criminals. I wonder how we would react today with that execution. How would we feel about it? The general sentiment of our society. But the fact is that Lincoln was a hero. The country was ending a brutal war in which 600,000 lives had been lost. And the country, as it was felt, could no longer bear the sentiment or any possibility of treason. And thus a message was sent by the execution of these individuals. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 10, I want to read another story about another kind of execution, this one executed by God. In Leviticus, chapter 10, beginning with verse 1, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord, an immediate execution. As soon as the crime was committed, God took care of it. And he sent a message to Israel, and the message to Israel is stated very plainly in the third verse of this reading. And Moses said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people, I must be glorified." And we talk a lot about Nadab and Abihu, but first of all, just who were these two individuals that were quickly executed by God? Well, first of all, they were the sons of Aaron. They are very clearly revealed in the 10th chapter in verse 1 as being the sons of Aaron. The point is that they were two men that had grown up in the priestly family. They grew up in a very special family. In fact, they had not only Aaron as their father, but they had Moses as their uncle, the one who had been chosen by God to go before Pharaoh and to plead for Israel. And Aaron, their father, was a spokesman for Moses. And thus they would witness the fact that these two men 10 times would go before Pharaoh asking God to release Israel from bondage. They would see the power of God, the power of God at the Red Sea. Most likely they had a front row seat. They would see Israel, God would provide a highway through the Red Sea, and Israel would go through the Red Sea on dry ground, but they would also witness the fact that this same Red Sea would come and destroy the Egyptian army. They were there at the waters of Marah, where the bitter waters were made sweet. And they would see the manna that would come from heaven and the water that would come from the flinty rock. The point is that these were two men who knew very well of the power of God. But not only that, not only were they sons of Aaron, and had they witnessed the power of God, but they also saw the holiness of God. In fact, in the book of Leviticus chapter 8, what you have is you have here a detailed description of the consecration of these men before they could become the priest of Israel. And they would be there at Mount Sinai when God had given to Moses the law, and they would witness the mountain as it shook, and the fire on the mountain, the thunder and lightning, and how they could not go up into the presence of God, but only Moses could go up into the mountain. And thus, the very point of this very intricate ordination that is revealed in Leviticus chapter 8, the primary point was, again, that God is holy. And for 7 days, there were 7 days of consecration. The priestly garments would be washed, and there was a special oil that was poured out upon the priest and upon the altar. Various offerings were offered, and they were made to eat of the unleavened bread. Now, without reading the entire chapter, notice that in the 33rd verse that we get to the point of the matter, beginning in chapter 8, Leviticus chapter 8, verse 33. "And you shall not go outside the door of the tabernacle of meeting for 7 days. Until the days of your consecration are ended, for 7 days he shall consecrate you. And as he has done this day, so the Lord has commanded to do to make atonement for you. Therefore, you shall stay at the door of the tabernacle of meeting day and night for 7 days and keep the charge of the Lord so that you may not die, for so I have been commanded." So Aaron and his son did all the things that the Lord had commanded by the hand of Moses. God was very plain. And God did not want to leave one thing undone during this 7 days of consecration. He says, "You must do it, or otherwise you will die." And so for 7 days, before even serving as priest, they would be reminded of the holiness of God. And then in the 9th chapter, there were various offerings that were offered as they prepared to go into the presence of God. Leviticus chapter 9, beginning with verse 1. "It came to pass on the 8th day that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel and said, 'Aaron, take for yourself a young bull as a sin offering and a ram as a burnt offering without blemish and offer them before the Lord. And speak to the children of Israel, and to the children of Israel you shall speak, saying, take a kid of the goats as a sin offering, and a calf and a lamb, both of the first year without blemish, as burnt offering. Also a bull and a ram as peace offering, to sacrifice for the Lord, and a grain offering offered mixed with oil. For today the Lord will appear to you.'" I wonder how much they have, wonder how they must have felt. How awesome it would have been to know that today that God is going to appear to you. And it's interesting, as we do a survey of the 2 chapters that we've read, just like a drumbeat over and over and over again, we find this phrase. I go back to chapter 8, verse 5. "This is what the Lord commanded." Chapter 8, verse 9. "As the Lord commanded Moses." Chapter 8, verse 13. "As the Lord commanded Moses." Chapter 8, verse 17. "As the Lord commanded Moses." Chapter 8, verse 21. "As the Lord commanded Moses." Chapter 8 and verse 29, as the Lord commanded Moses. You're getting the point, aren't you? And it continues even in the ninth chapter, the sixth verse, as the Lord commanded, so you do. And in chapter 9 and in verse 7, as the Lord commanded. And in chapter 9, verse 10, as the Lord commanded. Over and over and over again, God commanded. And there were to be no additions and no deletions. Thus, before God would appear, they would be reminded of His holiness. And that God must be glorified. And the way He is glorified is by keeping His commandments. So why was it so important for these men to follow God? Well, of course, first of all, because God commanded it. And in very plain language again, in chapter 8 and verse 34, as He has done this day, so the Lord has commanded to do to make atonement for you. Therefore you shall stay at the door of the tabernacle of meeting day and night for 7 days and keep the charge of the Lord so that you may not die. For so I have been commanded. In very bold, highlighted, bold print, God had very plainly said, you must keep my commandments or otherwise you will die. God had given them a fair warning. But in the same sense, not only had God commanded it, but again, because God is holy. In the book of Exodus, the 24th chapter, we have the reading of when God had consecrated, the law had brought the law to the people, and the covenant was ratified. And we also find that upon this occasion, Nadab and Abihu are present. In Exodus, the 24th chapter, and beginning with verse 1, Exodus 24, 1. Now he said to Moses, come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, 70 elders of Israel, and worship from afar. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come near, nor shall the people go with him. There was a separation here between the people and God. Only Moses alone will go up, he says. And in the third verse, and Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord, all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the word what the Lord has said, we will do. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord, and he arose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain, 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And then he sent young men of the children of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half the blood and put it in basins, and half the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the hearing of the people. And they all said, the Lord has said we will do and be obedient. And the Lord took blood, and Moses took blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, this is the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you according to all these words. They had witnessed it. The separation, the giving of the law, and the commitment. The covenant was ratified. And in the ninth verse beginning, Moses went up also Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, paved works of sapphire, stone. And it was like the very heavens in its clarity. But on the nobles of the children of Israel, he did not lay his hands. So they saw God and ate and drank. What an awesome picture this must have been, that here they saw and they ate and drank with God in some form or fashion. Now, these men have seen a lot. They have witnessed the power of God at the Red Sea. They have been in this priestly family. We might say that they're preacher's boys. They've been in this priestly family. The family of Moses and Aaron. They have seen their uncle go and plead for the children of Israel. And now they come face to face with God. You don't trifle with God when you come face to face with Him, when you go into His presence. They would be reminded of that. And so in the ninth chapter of Leviticus, we come back to this scene when they have been consecrated. And they have been reminded that God is going to make His appearance. And beginning in the 22nd verse, in Leviticus chapter 9, verse 22, then Aaron lifted his hand toward the people, blessed them, and came down from offering the sin offering, the burnt offering, and peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of meeting and came out and blessed the people. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people, and fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. What an awesome picture this was. An incredible moment. But quickly, the mood changes. Because in the 10th chapter and verse 1, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which He had not commanded them. Profane fire. Basically, they had taken something that was intended to be holy and made it common. And this is where the drumbeat ends. As the Lord commanded, as the Lord commanded, as the Lord commanded. But in the 10th chapter in verse 1, that which He had not commanded them, they offered. You think God is serious when He gives a commandment? You think He means what He says? Suddenly the drumbeat ends and these men die before the people. Because they took something that was holy and made it common. And they did what God had not commanded them. When people worship today, it's so easy for us to rationalize and to be crowd pleasers. To want to please the carnal man. Oh, we're losing our people. We're losing our young people. We need to liven the worship. And so they introduce certain carnal pleasing instruments that simply do not please God, but rather that are intended to please the carnal man. When we introduce things into the work of the church, for which there is no book, chapter, and verse, when our goals and motives are, but we need to keep the people, rather than goals and motives is to glorify and honor God, and we can offer no authority for it from the New Testament. When in our personal lives, we refuse to walk according to the pattern that God has given us and the way we talk and what we do and where we go, then that which is holy is made common. Very plainly, God has said to Israel, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. And before all the people, I must be glorified. In everything we do, when we sing, when we pray, when we observe the Lord's Supper, in our personal lives and in all that we do collectively, God must be glorified. And how is He glorified and honored? When we do all that He has commanded. The book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter. In Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrew writer, I think, comes what I believe is the climax of this great letter. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter. And beginning with verse 18, he says, for you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and burned with fire, and to blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them any more, for they could not endure what was commanded. And if so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I'm exceedingly afraid and trembling. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now has promised, saying yet once more, I shake not only earth, but also heaven. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. God must be feared and revered. Always. And we must stand in awe of Him. Paul says in Colossians 3, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, all by His authority. Everything that we do, do all in the name of the Lord. I guess to put it in a nutshell, what God wants, He wants your heart and He wants your life. All of your heart. And all of your life. Maybe you realize that along the way you've stumbled. Maybe you need a word of encouragement. Maybe you need a prayer. Perhaps today you realize that you are separated from God because of sin and you want to become a child of God. Whatever your spiritual need, we invite you now to come. Would you come? We stand and sing the song Selected. Would you come?